I want to hear some spicy opinions today. Who's got a spicy opinion? Jesse, you're... What's that?
Lettuce is bad.
Lettuce is bad is a blanket statement. Jesse, that's a good opinion. Ben, go ahead.
Water's not wet.
Amen!
It's done right there. Okay, what's the next opinion? Megan, I know you have one.
Pizza's better without cheese?
Wow! Got something in my shoe. All right, Ella's got the floor.
Say that again.
Lava is not wet. Yo, water is not water would be a crazy opinion. Aiden, go ahead.
KFC chicken and Chick-fil-A sauce is blasphemy.
Wow. Would you say that about all chicken, non-Chick-fil-A chicken plus Chick-fil-A sauce?
Yes. Well, okay, if it's like homemade chicken and Chick-fil-A sauce, that's fine. But if it's like Wendy's, if it's branded, it's not Chick-fil-A branded, and you put it with Chick-fil-A sauce, that's blasphemy.
I actually think that's a pretty reasonable opinion. I actually think it's kind of reasonable. Sam. So that's just wrong. So that's not a crazy opinion. It's just wrong. Steve, you had one. Wow, Steve. Wow. All right, Caleb's got one. Is it about Chick-fil-A sauce or KFC?
No.
All right, good.
This is going to get me a lot of hate, but Star Wars is better than Marvel.
Sure.
Wow. The applause. Star Wars is better than Marvel. To applause. All right, who's got another good one? That might be the spiciest one so far, Caleb. Noah, let's hear it. Burger King has the best burgers. Wow, a lot of controversy. A lot of controversy on that one. So I'm gonna reel this in because these are starting to get tight. All right, Jesse, last one.
Zodiac signs do not matter. You're just annoying.
So I would actually probably guess that most people in the room agree with that.
That's not spicy. That's just facts.
Exactly. Obviously, I'm an opinionated guy. Megan can attest with me that we are both opinionated people. I would hold the opinion that cereal is soup, right? Yeah. I would also hold the opinion that under the right circumstances, golf is actually pretty fun to watch, right? Yeah. I've got some wild opinions, right? Yeah, Sam's with me.
It can be.
But let me say this, right? Yeah. We can all have these wild opinions and still be friends, right? Yeah. We can all disagree wildly on the soupiness of cereal and still come to a common ground and be like, but we're friends though, right? At what point do those opinions matter to our friendship, right? At what point do we have such strong opinions about stuff that it affects our friendship? Well, it's only if it's about the things about which we interact, right? At the Star Wars convention, I would imagine that most people think Star Wars is better than Marvel, right? At the Star Wars convention, you would probably say that the majority of people feel that way, right? There's probably not a ton of people walking around the Star Wars convention dressed as like C-3PO or whatever, being like, all right, but the Marvel movies kind of bang though, right? Like those people are Star Wars people. They would probably say Star Wars are the best movies. And I bet you they disagree about their beliefs, their desires, their goals, whatever. But for now, they are united around Star Wars, right? You would agree with that. Yeah. By nature of having the common interest of Star Wars, they probably also have some other things in common, right? Just statistically speaking, they probably also like other sci-fi movies. They probably also like, I don't know, computer games. I don't know, like what do Star Wars people like is probably what more Star Wars people like. Right? As you have common things here, probably means you branch out and have other common interests. It'd be weird if the only thing the Star Wars people had in common with each other was a love for Star Wars. Right? There's probably other things. This is the model for the church. This is the model, right? Not that we would be driven toward a desire for sameness, not that we would all want to have the same ideas about all the same things, but in our diversity, the unity of our purpose would be that much stronger. That's the motto for the church. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. That God, in His Word, has not called us to uniformity, but to unity. unity of purpose, unity of mind. So we're going to break into some prayer, and then we're going to dive into what the Word says. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning, for this time that we have together. Lord, that we would be able to dwell on your goodness in uniting us around the purpose of your Word, giving us common ground at the foot of the cross. Lord, I pray that you would continue to make us what we are not yet. In all these things we pray in your name. Amen. Could someone do me a quick favor and close the door? Shout out Cass.
Yeah.
All right, so we got to define terms real quick. Because unity and uniformity sound reasonably similar. But they are quite different, right? Uniformity would be that everything is the same. When you go to school in a school uniform, that is because everybody is dressed exactly the same, right? But if you were to tell everybody to come to school dressed in a red shirt, then all these different people will bring different looking red shirts, and all as a group have red shirts on. Though they are different, they are all red. That's unity. It's very different from uniformity, right? If everybody has a blank red t-shirt, that's uniformity. If everybody has a red t-shirt with differing designs on it, right? My guy Daniel has a Nike red hoodie on. He could wear that, and I could wear, like, I don't know, a red... I've got Star Wars on my brain now. Thank you. Red Star Wars t-shirt or something. Different t-shirts, same color. That's unity, right? Being brought into a single identity with each other from our differences, that's unity, right? The key difference is that if we were called to uniformity in Scripture, then God would be asking us all to be exactly the same as each other. And yes, I am sure that we are not actually called to uniformity. I am positive of that, right? If we wanted to go back to Hebrews 11, where we were last week, right? If you just wanted to look, you don't have to turn there. I'm turning there just for funsies. But if you want to look at just the name list of people mentioned in the book of, or in the chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to look at the people mentioned, it's Cain, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, Samuel, and David. All very wildly different people. Very, very different people. I mean, look no further than the difference between Noah and Rahab. Right? Very different people. But still honoring and glorifying God through the same faith. That's unity. Unity of purpose from our differences and our diversity. That we might be able to do similar goals under different circumstances. Right? That's unity. So instead, our call to unity is that we would keep our feet firmly planted on our common ground instead of only harping on our differences. I guarantee if I gave you the forum, because I've done it before, water is wet, yes or no, would divide this room clean in half, right? We would split the time-space continuum eventually, right? It would just break because we would never stop, right? If we let that define our fellowship, then it's over. We split in two. That's the reason we are called to unity. It's because without it, we split in half. So let's look at what the text says, okay? Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 27. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that is from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection of mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So I want to take a quick detour and answer the question maybe one of you has. Yes, you are allowed to read straight through chapter divisions, right? A lot of times we read the Bible and we see a chapter division and we're like, all right, new thought. In reality, that's not the case. Chapters and verses weren't actually added to the Bible until the year 1205. So we're talking 800-ish years ago, about 1100 years after the Bible was like compiled, right? And much more obviously when you talk about the Old Testament, which had been, you know, around for a long time, right? We didn't have chapters, we didn't have verses. So if you're trying to be like a purist about this, then the Bible really doesn't have any verses and any chapters. You would just read through it. If we were to go back in time to like 1000 AD, we would have a very tricky time finding the verses that we want to see, right? We would have a very hard time with that for a number of reasons. One, because there's no chapters and verses. And two, also because none of us know Latin Vulgate. And also none of us would probably be able to break into the local monastery and get a verse out before being burned at the stake or something. If you want to look at the history of chapter and verse divisions, it's actually super, super fascinating. Maybe I'm only saying that because I'm a geek, but it is pretty cool. So, yeah, you can read through chapter divisions. But, so 1:27, Philippians 1:27, sets up the thought that we carry into chapter 2, right? Chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 is really kind of our focus text. But 1:27 says, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. What does that mean? Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Well, don't do things that the gospel probably tells you not to do. That would probably be the answer to that, right? Why? So that whether I come and see you or I am absent, this is obviously Paul speaking to people that he knew, but the principle carries out. Whether I come to see you or I am absent, I may hear of your affairs and that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let me ask you this. If we are all trying to act in accordance with the same gospel, you would probably think that we have like a similar purpose, right? If I am acting in the same, if I am trying to honor the same gospel as you, we would probably want to act in similar ways, right? Now, what does that mean about our differences? Does that mean the things that we end up doing different are indicative of my failures or of your failures? Well, I mean, I guess perhaps. But in acting in accordance with the gospel, that also means forgiving other people when they fall short, right? So now this kind of turns into a whole new thing, right? Yes, we should kind of be acting in similar ways. We should want similar things. But when we differ, that's not life or death. That's an opportunity for me to continue to honor the gospel in forgiving my brother, forgiving my sister. Not necessarily my siblings, but my brothers and sisters in Christ, right? In following the same purposes, in trying to honor the same things, we should probably remember what those things are. You have been saved by the gospel, by no works of your own. So it probably makes sense to be forgiving to other people, right? If you're trying to honor that in your own life. But so 2:1 through 11, sorry. I'm messing up my numbers today. Let's break this up, right? So this first half is 1 through 4. Paul kind of sets up what unity should look like. He says in verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, and being of one accord, one mind. So we don't really use the word Accord unless we are talking about a Honda Accord, the car. You can think of it that way, okay? To be in one accord means to be in like one unit moving as a unit. Literally, we're all in the same car together. Like, I didn't even like make that up. I think Honda chose the name Accord because of that, right? So I think I'm not being clever. Like, that's literally what the word is, right? To be in one accord with each other is to literally be like in one car together, okay? That's how you should think of it. It makes a lot more sense when you think of it that way, right? To be in one accord means we're all different people sitting in different seats going to the same place. Okay? One of us is driving, and actually it's not any of us. It's, I don't know if you know this, Jesus. Have like-mindedness with the same love, one accord, one mind. But how do we do that, right? Paul tells us in verses 3 and 4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. You cannot be unified with someone if you are not willing to be selfless. If you are not willing to set aside your needs, your wants, your desires for even like 1 second, you are never going to have an opportunity to be unified with another person. Because you are always going to be waiting for them to unify with you instead of you unifying with them. In order for you to be unified with someone or something, you gotta give up part of your own wants. Because the only person in the entire world that's ever going to agree with everything you do is yourself. In order for you to be united with someone else, you gotta leave some of that behind. And in unifying around the gospel, we can be sure that the most important thing we're leaving behind is not the most important thing to us. That is the gospel. That's why we unite around the gospel and not around the Bills. Because as much as we love the Bills right now for winning games, as soon as they lose, probably 80% of people wearing Bills gear won't be wearing it in February, right? Right? If they win the Super Bowl, we're good for like 3 years, okay? If they win the Super Bowl, we're united around the Bills for a long, long time. Josh Allen is going to be like Buffalo Jesus for a while, okay? Obviously not that far, but almost, right? If he wins a Super Bowl, right? But at a certain point, that's going to wear out. It doesn't last forever. But people have been united around this gospel for 2,000 years. I think we can set aside a couple things and maintain it, right? So that's one of the takeaways, right? That you can't be united with others without being selfless. But another one of the takeaways from this little four verses is that spiritual unity is a result of having common high goals, right? As opposed to, obviously, common low goals, right? Earthly goals. Right? This is the Bills thing, right? If the Bills fans get united about playoff victories, that's fine. But eventually that wears out. Having common high goals in the gospel means that our goals don't wear out. We are always going to have this common goal together, and it will never change. And that comes back to being in one accord with each other, right? Because that goal never changes, but we change, right? If we suddenly jump into a different accord, now we're going to a different goal, right? So that means us constantly seeking out what our faith means to us. What is the goal of our faith? Is the goal of your faith to find inner happiness and comfort, or is it to become more holy and sanctified? Because you're going to go in two different directions with that. You are not going to be in the same accord with these people if you are over here. There is an outwardness to our faith that we are called to have that is not always a matter of, well, what can God do for my happiness? Right? God promises that in pursuing him, he will bring us happiness. He will bring us joy. Even though things are hard, they will be okay in the long run because we have comfort in him. Right? But if that's all you're looking for, then you are going to find yourself in a fundamentally different place than other people because your goals are different. You jumped into a different Honda Accord. Right? So, that's one of the other takeaways, right? The other one that I would say, and obviously there's more, but the other one I would say today, Like-mindedness and uniformity are definitely different things, right? Like-mindedness, obviously, following the accord idea. For example, Jake Brown and I can be like-minded for the cause of the gospel, but can disagree deeply on a lot of other things, right? Jake and I can be very, very different people on the surface while still having a lot of the same core values. That's okay. That's all right. So that brings us into verses 5 through 11. I'm taking a long time this morning. Our model for selfless unity is Jesus. Okay? Let's read this again. Let this mind be in you, this like-mindedness, this same mind, this one mind. By the way, unity is a Latin root word that comes from the word one, unum. Right? That's also on our dollars, e pluribus unum. That's the United States Latin motto, from the many come one. Right? Unum, one, unity. Right? This is all about us being one unit together. Unit, again. Hello. Verse 5. Sorry, I'm getting semantics. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So verse 6 in the New King James is kind of goofy. I like it better in the ESV translated. Let this mind be in you, who is in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And having been found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Right? So, the idea that God did not, that Jesus did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, what that's saying is that Jesus came down to earth with all of the imbued powers of God and did not say, I have come to earth to be an avenger, right? He did not, like, he could have flied, he could have x-ray visioned his way through, he could have probably laser-eyed his way, maybe even had the Wolverine thing going on. These guys aren't even Avengers. I'm just ripping on Marvel. Jesus didn't come down to do that. He humbled himself to the state of a man and said, I know what I got to do. If Jesus can set aside the deity of God in his person for the sake of our unity, we can probably set aside some other things in our life for the sake of unity. Because nothing we have to set aside is as cool as the deity of God. Right? Yeah, okay, cool. You're really into, I don't know, this sports team. All right, well, whatever. Right. Or whatever it is, right? And we can try to convince ourselves that, like, there are other things, right? All you have to do is be on social media for, like, 5 minutes before you walk away thinking the worst about the people you know, right? We can set those things aside. We can set them aside. In order for us to have unity with each other, we have to put those differences aside because we can find all our answers in Jesus. Jesus, literally, being God in the flesh, did literally nothing but spend time around people who were more foolish than him, more impulsive than him, stupider than him, literally, right? Oh, I said the bad word. More short-sighted than him, more irrational than him. Whatever you want to say, Jesus spent his time with people who were overall worse than him. And yet he saw equality with God as nothing worth grasping because he had humbled himself to the point of a man for us. The model for unity in our lives is to set aside the things that don't matter, which is everything that's not the gospel, in exchange for the one thing that does. Jesus, in conjunction with the fullness of God, set it aside in order for us. I think that we can set aside our petty differences, or even differences that we might think are big deals. There are a lot of passages about biblical unity. Let's turn to one in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is long. I'm just going to read it through. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 31. I need some coffee. 1 Corinthians 12. For as the body is one and has many members, notice the word one, unum, unity, unit. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being are one, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, is therefore not part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, for again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, these members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there be no schism in the body, that there be no fracture in the time-space continuum of our body. I added that. But that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members now rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After all that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all the gifts? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you a more excellent way. Right? So this is talking about spiritual gifts, but it's also talking about unity in the church despite diversity. Right? Obviously, all of us are very different people. I have a lot of differences between the people in this room. Right? Megan and I are very different people, and we are very comfortable with it. Right? I've known Megan for a super, super long time. We are very different. But Megan might be one of the most valuable friends I have. Because of those differences, right? Because we know how to overcome them. We know how to work around them. And in our differences, in the fact that she's a hand and I'm a foot, now we can walk and sign language at the same time, right? Or whatever else you want to do with your hands. I don't know. Our differences make us a better unit in our unity, okay? Another passage we can turn to, Romans 15. Verses 5 and 6. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glorify him with one mind and mouth. Next one, Ephesians. I told you guys last week I love Bible surfing. I bet you didn't believe me, and now you're saying, oh man, he wasn't kidding. Ephesians 4, sorry. Thank you, Noah, for keeping me honest. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Then Paul goes in. You ready? There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. It's all one. We are not baptized under different water. We are not saved out of different blood. We are not allegiant to a different gospel. It's all one. We do not have all the differences that we might think we have. Because the most important thing, and as a matter of fact, the only thing that God will pay attention to once we get to the gate is whether we have that one blood, whether we have that one gospel. If that's all God cares about, I think we could set aside some stuff. The only thing that holds our unity back is each other, right? When we hold grudges, when we gossip about each other, when we refuse to overlook things in others that we are like, oh, this is the most important thing, how dare they? Well, if it's not about the gospel, then maybe reel it back. When we refuse to overlook things in others that maybe we wouldn't do ourselves, we shred up the strength of our unity. We break the space-time continuum, right? Literally everything in our lives right now seems like it's trying to divide us. I'm telling you, 5 minutes on social media will have you thinking that your friends are terrible people. People that in your ordinary life you would look at and be like, they would take the shirt off their back for somebody they cared about. Now look on social media like they are evil. Like they are repugnant, morally bankrupt. But you know them in your personal life to be great people. It is so easy to let that stuff shred up our unity. So easy. But what if we, as the church, made it our goal to overlook these disagreements, move past them with one another, and commit to the singular goal, the singular Honda Accord, of becoming the people that God wants us to be. Becoming the unit that God wants us to be. Do the things that God wants us to do. Because that's what our command is. Fellowship with one spirit in one accord. The only person in the world with whom you agree on everything is yourself. In order for you to have unity with anybody else, you got to set stuff aside. And doing so for the cause of Christ, I think, is probably a good idea. Because God has not commanded us to do anything that does not bring Him glory and bring us joy. Every single thing that He asks us in the Bible, every thou shalt and thou shalt not in the book, is about His glory and our joy in that order. And if you start going against that and saying, well, God, where's my joy? He's going to say, well, where I told you it is. In order to be the church, we have to be willing to live in harmony with those who are different than us. It brings Him glory. It brings us joy. Because God in His word has not called us to uniformity. He has called us to unity. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your calls upon us to be like-minded, to drive the same car. Lord, we're just thankful to be in this space with You today. I pray that as we go out this week, as we get ready for what February has for us, Lord, I pray that You would just prepare our hearts and Lord, that You would continue to make us what we are not yet. Bless us as we go. In all these things we pray in Your name. Amen.